Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 23, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good, a corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 23.
The portion from God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the first book of Moses called Genesis, and are of the first chapter. Genesis chapter 1, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and a fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and a tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that had life, and fowl that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts after the earth after his of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, when we are gathered together for the second time in this thy holy day, then it so behooves us to bow before thee. For we have heard in these very moments of that perfection of our creation, and wherein we were made in thy image. And we have just sung together how deeply that we have fallen, so that thou didst see all that thou hadst made, and that thou hadst to say, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. Oh, from such an height of creation to such a depth in our fall, and that is from our side not to be fathomed, but it is experienced when thou wilt instruct us therein. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, it is thy holy day. It is that day that thou hast set aside that we may worship thee. Already before that awful fall. But thou knowest that we are not able to worship thee anymore. And by nature no desire that thou shouldst reign over us. And thou hast made it also into a day. wherein thou wilt display not only the wonder of thy creation, but that thou wilt display the wonder of thy redemption, that thou wilt deliver a man from that awful pit wherein we have brought ourselves in our deep fall. Oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst open our eyes, that from the bottom of that pit a cry may ascend unto thee, who sittest on the right hand of power. O thou who hast come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost, and thou who hast taken our own human flesh, and therewith hast suffered the punishment, and that thou hast given thyself even unto death, oh, that thou mayst deliver those who have brought death upon themselves, and who are not able to deliver themselves from it. For there is no discharge in that war. Lord, when we are dead, then we are unable to do anything. And thou knowest each and every one of us and how that we go over this world. Oh, then there is not a sigh, there is not a cry. Oh, so much formality, even in our religion. But there is no truth in it. It is all hypocrisy from our sight. Oh, then we seek an excuse in this and in that thing. And we seek to quiet our conscience with all our duties of religion. But we do not love thee, as we have heard out of thy holy law is required of each and every one of us. In a great and an awful perfection. O Lord, that there may be in our hearts a learned knowledge of our wretchedness by the power of thy Holy Spirit. O thou that art able to teach us that great prophet, able to bring that word in the hearts of young and old. O we can only beseech thee, Lord, for from our side then it is so impossible. We cannot give it unto ourselves, and we cannot give it unto one another. And we stand and we sit here this day so helpless before thee. We are so dependent upon thee. But thou dost say to call unto me. Oh, we beseech thee then, Lord, to whom who has all power in heaven and in earth, that in this thy holy day, that something of that power may be experienced in each and every one of our hearts. Oh, thou knowest what we are, that we are going each one to our long home. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity, and all the waters run into the sea, and yet that sea is not full. One generation passeth away that is experienced in our midst, and another generation cometh. So we go each one of us upon our way, and that time of grace that is so quickly passing by. O Lord, we beseech thee in this thy holy day, and that holy day that is set aside by thee thyself, and that thou wouldst stop us upon our mad career. Oh, that in this day all things in this world may be set aside for a moment, and that in this very day that our hearts may be united to thy fear. Oh, that we may consider from where we have come as we have heard it in these moments, that we may consider to where that we are going and the pathway of our life, and whether or not that we have ever been given to enter through that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way that becomes narrower and narrower for a man. And there is a way wherein we are not able to turn to the right hand or to the left from thy holy law. Oh, that we must go over the mountains of impossibilities, and that we must go through the valleys of difficulties, trials, and tribulations. Everything so against our own flesh, and then to learn what is living in our hearts, nothing but rebellion against thee and all of thy ways. O Lord, then it needs to be instructed by thy Spirit. Oh, then we need to learn in our life that thou art God. Oh, who can make straight what thou hast made crooked? Lord, that we may be given that blessed place of thy servant, who did say, carry the ark back into the city, because if it pleases the Lord, and then he will bring me back to see it once again. Oh, but if not, then here am I, let him do what seemeth good in his sight. Oh, that we may be given so to bow under all thy ways, to agree with thee in everything that thou doest, and that we may learn that we are a creature and thou art our creator, that we are independent and that thou art independent. Oh, that we may learn that we have sinned and that thou art holy. Oh, that our mouth may be stopped and that we may become guilty before God. Oh, that we may be given a cry to thee in all our wretchedness and in all of our misery, that thy dear Son may become precious in our eyes also as he is precious in thine eyes. For he is thy holy and he is thy only begotten and only beloved Son. Oh, we despise him by nature. Room must be made for him in our hearts, but we read in thy holy word that thy servant did say that he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. O Lord, no form, no comeliness in our heart for him by nature. How our heart needs to be brought low. How we need to receive instruction from that great prophet. How we need to be brought to say we indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. O Lord, that thou would bring us in the guilt before thee. Bring us to an end of our own strength, our own worthiness, our own righteousness, our own goodness. That we may see that we are but vile and wretched creatures in thy holy sight. Oh, that there may be a beauty in thy only begotten Son. Look upon all thy children. Lord, thou knowest all that lives also within their own hearts. Oh, then thou knowest what we have heard in this very morning hour. Fair as the moon, and that moon that is waning and waxing. Oh, then they cannot see that fairness, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst open unto them thy word. Oh, that bride, thou sayest, that she was so beautiful in thine eyes. But that bride, oh, she said of herself, I am a black. Oh, then she may see only her comeliness in thee. Oh, that thou may open her eyes by renewal to see something of that blessed comeliness in him. And that thou may give a little faith by renewal. And that they may say, as we have heard, something of by faith that he is mine and I am his. Lord, that thou may so instruct each and every one, young and old, because there is none too young. O thy servant did leap even in his mother's womb, and there is none too old, for one also was delivered in the last hours of his life. And when it is in the heart of a man in this very day, that there is despair, and that it is said that I have been so long coming up to the house of the Lord, and there is never an impression, and there is never a work from above. Oh, then to know what we stand in need of and to miss it, Lord, make us a missing person in truth. And could it be that in this very hour that thou would bring it home as guilt in the heart? Because then there is hope and then there is expectation. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world? Wilt thou supply for each and every one to bring thy word? Him that may return to his congregation again in our community. Thou knowest his weakness. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may be on his right and on his left hand, and that thou may give unto him strength to bring thy word in the midst of his flock, and that thou may bless the labors also, even as he becomes old. And thou knowest us also, Lord, and then thou knowest our weakness and what we stand in need of. Oh, that thou may be on our right and on our left also, and that we may receive what is necessary to go in and out again continually, not only in our body, but oh, that thou may instruct us within, and that we may be enabled to bring forth things new and old out of thy law, and that thou may give thy blessing in the midst of us. Remember all the afflicted and all the sick and all that mourn the student, and that dost bring thy word in the midst of the congregations. Remember our nation. Remember all that need thee in special ways, those with afflictions of the mind, afflictions of the body, and those that have bear crosses of which we do not know. Thou knowest their place, because there is no place in this world that a man can hide from thee. O Lord, thy servant is safe, that even in the womb, then thou knewest where that he was. And then also thy servant, who had departed from thee and was swallowed by that great fish. Oh, then from the bottom of that fish, and then he did say, I will look again toward thy holy temple. O Lord, when a man has so departed, that he says it is not possible anymore. Oh, do give us such a place, that they may experience that thou art not only a just and a righteous God, but that thou art also so merciful and so gracious. Lord, look upon us in this hour. Help us to do this work. Oh, give freedom and liberty. And could it please thee, Lord, all thou knowest what we need. Oh, could it please thee to bring thy word into the hearts of many in this hour. Lord, place needs to be made. Room needs to be made. The ground, the fallow ground, needs to be plowed up. Oh, then it is the beginning of the work of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord. We beseech thee in this very hour. Oh, to whom, Lord, can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, could it please thee to bring thy word this afternoon hour, that it may be the day of thy good pleasure, that it could be the hour that the arrow of thy spirit would strike into the hearts of many, that there could be a revival, Lord, because the earth, we are souls traveling to meet thee, and from our side there is no power. It all must come from thee. Oh, that we may acknowledge thee in the end of this hour, and that thou for all that thou hast done. And could it please thee that there may come a sum that may be given inwardly to smite upon the breast, and to say, not daring to lift their eyes to heaven, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. We announce, the Lord willing, on July the 9th, Timothy Den Hollander and Rosaline Janssen hope to be united in holy matrimony here in Fort McLeod. On the same date, July 9th, Tyrone Busicum and Ashley Vanderwall hope to be united in holy matrimony in Rock Valley, Iowa. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. The Lord willing, a male members' meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, July the 14th at 8 o'clock p.m. for the purpose of electing a deacon and dealing with the purchase of the property adjacent to the church. The last collection is for our school, Psalter 102, 1 through 4. Beloved congregation, last week we heard that the Lord Jesus gave a summary of the law. To whom? That was to a scribe. That scribe had asked him a question. He asked him, "What is the first commandment of the law?" And the Lord Jesus gave him an answer. He said, "That is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And what did that man answer him? That man answered him and said, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth." And then the Lord Jesus, he said to that man, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Not far from the kingdom of God. What is that? To be not far. To be very near. To be so close to the kingdom of God, and yet to be on the outside of the kingdom of God. How is it today for that rich man at whose gate lay that poor Lazarus? That man, he was not far from the kingdom of God. And how is it for him today? We read that there is a gulf. We read that there is a great gulf between him and the Lord. We read of two thieves. We often speak of one, but there was also another. Or we would say he was just as close as that other thief. Just as close, hanging just on the other side of that same Savior, of that same Mediator. So near, so close, not far from the kingdom of God, and yet on the outside of it. And why? Because he could not come to that same confession of his brother in crime. We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. How was it for those Gadarenes? They were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses of the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man possessed of the devil, with all its frightful consequences. An eyewitness of the power of God. And yet a people who have prayed him to depart out of their coasts. So near. So close. Not far from that same kingdom of God, and yet on the outside of it. And why? They did not see their own need. Oh, if only they had seen that. If only their eyes were open to this, because that remedy that was so close at hand, that is that remedy for the time. It was a remedy for all eternity. But they missed it. All because of that lack of that knowledge of themselves. How is it now for us? Are we not also not far from the kingdom of God? So close under the reading, the preaching of the word, under the law, under the gospel. Oh, there is a fountain. There is a fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. And all of us, we are not far. We are not far away from that fountain. What shall now eternity be for us when we have been so close in our life to that fountain, and when we have not been washed therein? How many things are necessary for thee to know? Three things. How great my sins and miseries are. How I may be delivered from my sins and miseries. And how I shall show gratitude to God for such a deliverance. The primary knowledge, our misery. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. What does that law of God require of thee? Thou shalt love. Thou shalt love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How is it now? How is it now? Do you say with that scribe, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But not far is still outside. And we need more than that. We need more than that our mind would assent. Is there anyone that has been brought in this week that has gone by? Is there anyone between the Lord and your soul that has been brought into the guilt with that holy law of God? And all that holy law does require not of my neighbor, no, but what that law that does require of me? Or is there nothing yet? Or has it not touched us yet? Or can we still thrust it away? We are excusers of ourselves. Oh, if we could only be a little instrument in the hands of the Lord to break down what is standing in the way between your soul and that fountain, to break it down. Or if we could only be a little instrument in the hands of the Lord to break that power of unbelief, that power of pride, and all the self-righteousness that is living in our hearts. Why? Because that fountain that is so near, it is so near. And the time that is so quickly going by, what are the barriers? We have heard one. One of those barriers, that is that our heart that is lowering that standard of the law, don't believe that God will require of us perfection. O congregation, we would say, here is now a matter that every man may be urged in their heart to believe it. Oh, believe, believe, believe. That required of us is that absolute perfection concerning that holy law of God. God is not changeable. He is unchangeable. Are there more barriers? Yes, there are more barriers. Do you know what one of those barriers is? That we not only lower that standard, do you find that in your heart? But that we also are people that cast the blame. We cast the blame on someone else. Do you ever do that, boys and girls? Something that you say you have done yourself, and now you try to cast the blame for what you have done wrong on someone else. To rid yourself of the responsibility of it. You say that responsibility that does not belong with me, but that responsibility that now belongs to someone else. Why do people do that? To cast the blame on someone else. That is because responsibility brings along with it the liability to punishment. If I am responsible, then I also am liable to be punished. But if I am not responsible, then that punishment does not justly come upon me. Oh, the subtlety of our wicked, our evil heart that is living within us. To cast the blame. But it is so dangerous. Could we only unroot it? It is so dangerous. Why so dangerous? Because it is standing in the way of conviction. It is standing in the way between our soul and that open fountain. And our fathers, they would break down that barrier. But they cannot do it. And we cannot do it. Only the Lord can do that. May the Lord remember us even in this hour. Lord's Day 3. Lord's Day 3, questions 6, 7, and 8. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Answer, by no means. But God created man good and after his own image. In true righteousness and holiness. That he might rightly know his Creator. Heartily love him and live with him in eternal happiness. To glorify and praise him. Question 7, whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? Answer, from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence, our nature has become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Question 8, are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. The cause of our depravity, first, not in God, second, found in ourselves. The cause of our depravity, first, not in God, second, found in ourselves. Did God then create men so wicked and perverse? Do you hear it? Do you hear it? The blame? Did God then create men so wicked and perverse? Why did our fathers put such a question within the Heidelberg Catechism? Such an awful question. Such an awful thought. A blasphemous thought. You say, why would they put it in the catechism? Then they put a thought, an evil thought, in our heart. No, they do not. No, they do not. Why not? Because that thought is already in our heart. Because that thought that is dwelling within us, do you not find it there? Such a thought. We are so wicked. We are so wicked. We are like Elimus the sorcerer, where we read he is full of subtlety and all mischief, and we would turn our own heart even away from the truth. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Oh, if only then we can now blame the Lord. Because if we could now blame the Lord, then all the consequences of our sin, then all the misery and all the suffering and all the death and everything that is to be experienced here in this world, oh, if we could only blame the Lord, then all of this is falling unjustly on us. Then we say, it is not my fault, I could not help it, that is now the fault of the Lord. We will stop a moment. We will stop here a moment and consider. And search and look within our own heart. Do you find such a thought? A thought that blames God for all of the misery that is in this world? That blames God also for your own misery that you have to experience in trials and tribulations in this world? Can you find that in your heart? If you say you cannot find that in your heart, then we would say, dig a little deeper. Turn thee yet again, Son of Man, and thou shalt find more abominations. Let us be honest. Did such a thought never come into our mind? To blame him that we are dead? Say, yes, I do not seek the Lord, but I'm dead. We blame him for our sloth. And we blame him for our afflictions and all of our sorrows. And we have heard what the requirements of that law are. And then we blame the Lord that we are not actually able to fulfill all of those requirements that we are hearing Sabbath day after Sabbath day out of His holy law? How is that? Were you ever blamed for something you did not do? Were you ever blamed, boys and girls? Did someone ever blame you for something you did not do? That is an awful thing, especially when you are not able to prove that it is wrong. And in your heart you know that you have not done it. And yet the evidences, they all seem to be against you. Then that is an awful thing. There is one comfort for you then. And you say, the Lord knows. The Lord is in heaven. And He knows of this thing that I am innocent. How is that now for the Lord? When we blame Him for what He has not done. When we blame Him for all of our misery. No, we do not do it with our words, because we are too self-righteous for that. But in our hearts, then we blame Him. Is not the Lord so just to leave us so completely to ourselves when we refuse to acknowledge what our guilt is, when we refuse to accept the punishment of our own iniquity? And will the Lord then not say to such as we are, I leave them till the day of judgment? Will they blame me? I leave them till that day of judgment. And they may blame me all their life long. But on that day of judgment, then the reality will be shown before all the world what it truly is. As long as we do not accept that punishment of our iniquity, oh, then there is no need, congregation, for that fountain. For that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. And that is why now that casting of that blame upon the Lord, that is for our soul so dangerous. And therefore our fathers, they seek to expose it. They seek to expel this awful, this wicked, this subtle thought from our hearts that lives within each of us. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? By no means. But God created man good and after His own image in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know His Creator, heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness to glorify and praise Him. By no means. Our fathers declare according to that Word of God and what we have read out of the Word of God even in this very hour. By no means is God to be blamed for our misery. And if we cannot receive this truth in our hearts, in our lifetime, then we are going to experience this truth in our death before the judgment seat of God. By no means. Oh, that wicked and that perverse thought that would be utterly banished from our hearts and from our minds in this very day and in this very hour, that we may be convinced, as our fathers do say here, by no means. How profitable, congregation, would that not be for a true conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, when we may accept our own responsibility for our own sin? Oh, how good. How good that God has created you and I. Really, who is able to fathom the height of that creation. God Himself. God Himself, He said of it, and of us in that creation, He said, "Behold, it is very good." Oh, how good must that thing be that is declared to be very good by a holy and a righteous God, in whom that there is not the least sin. How good. Can there possibly be the slightest perfection in what God Himself declares to be very good? And then it is not only in that creation itself, but we read it also about, about the crown of His creation. Or how the Lord did delight on that sixth day, how the Lord did delight in that crown of His creation. When He may behold, we read, His very image. An image that is something that is produced by a mirror. Do you ever look in the mirror, young people? I think you look sometimes in the mirror. And what do you see when you look in the mirror? Say, that is a beautiful person, and we make ourselves more beautiful. Oh, did you ever, when you looked in that mirror, did you ever see what you loathed? Here, when we read about the image of God, then we have a picture of something like a mirror. It is a reflection that the Lord has seen in that man, in that crown of His creation, that He has seen, that He has beheld what He has made. And it was actually something even of a reflection of Himself. A reflection of Himself in that crown of His creation. Is it any wonder that the Lord, He has said of that man, "Behold, it is very good"? Something of the communicable attributes of God. Those attributes that were able to be communicated unto man. No, there are some that are not able to be communicated. But that knowledge, that righteousness, that holiness of God that He has placed within that man, so that that man so loved the Lord, that he loved the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, and with all his mind, and with all his strength. Then is it not a wonder that the Lord, He says, "Behold, it is very good"? And then what? Let us sing first. 14 stanzas 4 through 7. Oh, what is man in thy regard, to hold so large a place? And what the Son of Man that thou dost visit him in grace? 4 through 7 of Psalter 14. did God then create man so wicked and perverse? By no means, but God created man good and after his own image. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Thus we hear where the fault lies fairly and squarely. That is, not with God, but with us. From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. You say, I am not Adam. I am not Eve. I am not responsible for their sin. There you have it again. Do you not? Is that living in our heart? That we refuse to accept that sin from our first parents? How does God rightly impute the guilt of our first parents to us? How is that possible? That God can be just when that guilt of Adam, actually not of Eve, but the guilt of Adam, that is my guilt also, that is by virtue of that covenant headship of Adam. Do we not agree with covenant headship? We say there should be no such thing as covenant headship. Is that so? There should be no such thing as government, and as one who makes a decision which affects me, and which makes me liable also to punishment when our governor makes a decision which is a bad decision. And when there is no imputation of that guilt of Adam, then there is also no imputation of that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But covenant headship, that is a lawful representation. And those who are represented, they are affected by those who do represent them. You say, ah, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. The children then, they are dying for the sins of their fathers. No. No. Why not? Because the guilt of Adam that is imputed to us, not through the fathership of Adam, but through the covenant headship of Adam. Do we receive anything from our father Adam? Do we receive anything from him by virtue of the fact that we are born out of Adam? Certainly. But not guilt. Not guilt. What do we receive? That is what our fathers are speaking about in this Lord's Day. They are speaking about depravity. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature from the fall and disobedience of our first parents to Adam and Eve? Thus, the guilt that is from Adam because of that covenant headship, but the depravity, the corruption that is coming from our father and our mother, because who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And thus our fathers say, hence, or therefore, our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Thus, we are not condemned for our corruption. A judge, he does not look to see if we are corrupt or filthy. Judge does not look for filthiness, unless that filthiness is against the law, then it becomes guilt. But a judge, he is looking only for a person's guilt. Yes or no? Therefore, a person, he is judged, he is condemned because of his guilt, not because of his filthiness. And therefore, the children, they are not dying for the sins of their fathers. Yes, according to the law, we read that the Lord is visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. How? That is through depravity. That is that those children, they are sinful like their father and their mother. And then what do they acquire? Well, then they acquire their own guilt. They have a corruption, a depravity. We read here, are we so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Thus, because of that depravity, because of that filthiness, then we are adding to that original guilt that we have received through the covenant headship of Adam. We are adding to it daily. It cannot be any other way because of our nature. From the moment that we are conceived and born in sin. But you say, could not God have prevented all this? God is still at fault, because God could still have made it so that that did not happen. That is true. Then we ask this question. Could not man have prevented this? Was Adam forced to sin? Did not Adam have the ability to stand in his holiness? And not only so, but was not Adam created with an inclination, not to evil, but was not Adam created with a bent, with an inclination even, unto good? Was he not created with a holy aversion to sin? Was he not created in the very image of God, that Adam could have prevented all this? But you say God still could have made it to be that man could not have sinned. That is true. That is true. But really, what are we saying then? Are we happy that we have been created the way that we were? Or are we unhappy that we have been created so free? Are we unhappy that we have been created with a free will? That we say that God should have bound our will, that God, He should have harnessed our will? Oh, if only He had taken away our freedom to choose. If only he had made us as a stock, that he had made us as a block, that he had made us as the animals that have no reason and that have no ability to make moral choices. Oh, if only the Lord had not created us in the height in which that he created me. If only that he had not made me in his very own image, with a free will. So we think that God should have helped us more than he did. More than just with an inclination or a bent unto good, but that he should actually have put a wall around us. He actually should have put a fence around us. Oh, what glory! What glory would man then have received? Could he have possibly received more than the glory of a beast? Is there not a great difference, children? Is there not a great difference when you are obedient? Whether you are obedient because your mother or father puts a fence around you that you cannot be disobedient, or whether you are obedient out of your own choice. Out of your own choice. Is that not a great difference? Has the Lord not created man with that ability, that propensity, that he may receive a very, very great glory for himself in the perfect obedience of that law of God? The animals. Are the animals credited because they have not sinned? Who can make no moral choices, good or evil? Is that to their credit that they do not sin? No, we say that is now to the Lord's credit. That is now to the Lord's glory. Because those animals, they do not receive glory for this. But man, he was created so differently. Or are we so unhappy? Will we argue with the Lord because he has created us so high that we will blame him that he did not create us lower? Or our very justification of ourselves that is evidence of the corruption and that depravity that is living within our heart, that we refuse to accept our own guilt. But it will not profit us. It will not profit us to deny, because before that throne of God, then there will not be one answer, congregation, to 1,000 questions from the side of the Lord. Oh, the wickedness of our heart. May the Lord bring something of that wickedness to break our hard and stony heart, that we say, what a wretched and a sinful creature that I am before the Lord. Oh, that the Lord would give to us another place to say, woe is me, I am undone, created good, created upright, but we have sought out many inventions, fallen so deeply in our covenant head Adam, and now so corrupt we be that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined. Do you ever feel it? Inclined unto all evil, every evil living within our hearts. Or do you ever feel it? Inclined to all wickedness, even inclined to blame the Lord. To blame the Lord for our misery when it is our own fault. Oh, that it would become our own guilt, because then there is hope. Then there is hope when it would only congregation ask the Lord to take that word and to bind it upon your heart. Consider it in your heart when you go from this place, in this day, in this week. Oh, take that law of God up into your hands. That primary knowledge, that knowledge of our misery, that is what we need to know in that first place. Why? The Lord, He says, only acknowledge, does not say pay for it. We cannot pay for it. Does not say you must make it right again from your own side. No. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, and that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. He that covereth his sins, he shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them, he shall find mercy. How? Oh, in that day, the Lord says, in that day. What day is that? Read Zechariah 12. Read what day that is. It is a day of mourning. When they shall mourn in Jerusalem, every man apart, every family apart, when they shall mourn, as one that mourneth for his only begotten son. Then the Lord says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened, the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, all that barrier, all that stands in the way to receive that washing, that fountain so near, so open, oh, it is so wide. Lord, there is so much room, but it cannot be received unless we know, unless we feel the power of our iniquity. Oh, show to us our misery. Send us, Lord, to our places. This thy holy word, that it may come into our hearts, that indeed we may acknowledge our iniquity, that we have transgressed against thee. Wilt thou forgive? Take away our many sins. Bring us safely home. Be with us in the week to come. And wilt thou watch over and protect each and every one in these summer months. Lord, thou knowest all the activity that there is. So much going forth to and fro. There are so many things that are taking place in our lives. And then we are so dependent upon thy protecting hand, of thy providence to keep us, because there can any moment happen those things that are so outside of our power. Oh, teach us to seek thee while we are young, especially our children and our young people. And wilt thou bring us also with desire in thy house. Remember all those that hope to be married in this week, and remember us on the coming Sabbath. Make place for thy word. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 446:2-4. If thou shouldst mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. But thou dost pardon fully all our iniquity, that we may serve thee truly and fear thy majesty. 2 and 4, Psalter 446.
Thank you.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.